Broconcho with Anna DeVlasis.
Yes.
And the Lazy Susan, as we like to call it, and that is, no one should be offended if their name is Susan.
It's in a very respectful way, we mean that.
Of mayoral candidates, continues right here on the show. And Bill Daley is with us. And I will just ask you this, because this is a question that a lot of people have. Obviously, you have an incredible resume as a businessman and in the world of governance, right? Not really a politician. Because I don't think you've never really run for anything,
no,
right?
Never.
But you know, obviously you were chief of staff to the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. You were the commerce secretary. You've been certainly been around, and your name is synonymous with governance in Chicago. If people have grievances, and they do, and elections are often about grievances. I think this particular election and for the mayor of Chicago is going to be about grievances. They're upset about the state of Chicago. Is the Daley name an impediment?
I look at it this way, Ro, and that's a fair question. There are those who like us based upon the terms of my brother Rich or my dad even, mm-hmm. but my dad's been dead for 40 years, so that's a long time ago. But all I can ask for people is to look at my record, look at what I'm saying, judge me. Every person knows, every family knows, siblings aren't identical. I took a different path. I was not a career politician like Rich. Mm-hmm. That, no disparaging of that. That was his choice. I spent my career in the business sector, along with doing the service that you said to our government. So I think it brings a unique blend of understanding government and politics, being around it all my life, but not being of it. So I come to this, and if you look at some of the ideas I've thrown out, very unconventional for someone that you would say was a Daley, shrinking the council, merging CPS and the city colleges, and a whole host of other things. So all I can ask is people to judge me based upon what I've done, who I am, and what I want to do with this city.
You caused some shouting by the city council members today when you decided that it was from 50 to 15. You right. want to bring the alderman down. 15 is enough. And is it a cost-cutting move that motivates you on this, or what is it? What's behind that proposal?
Look, at the system we have with 50 aldermen was created in the early part of the last century. And it was basically where all city services went through the alderman. All city services.
Right.
City hall meant nothing.
They are their own fiefdoms, every single
But they
ward.
Really were, a long time ago, complete fiefdoms. That's changed. The public's different. Our political system. You don't have the machine, the organization, that whole structure there that supported that old system. And we look to the aldermen basically as mini mayors. That's changed. So I think we ought to come up to the 21st century, take a look at what should the aldermen be. They should be less mini mayors and more legislators who are there not trying to do the executive's job, but do the legislative job of setting
represent
the policy,
those people.
Represent their wards, no doubt about it. And of the top 10 largest cities in America, L.A. is 17 and they have 4 million. New York does have 50, but they're 9 million people. They're three times the size of us.
Right. And they have a borough overlay that's different than us.
Yeah, very different. But the size of it is just enormous. We have 2.7 million people with 50 aldermen. There's less than 60,000 people in a ward.
So you say make a ballot referendum, see what the people want, and if they want it, you'd put forth change in that area.
Absolutely. And it would coincide with the census and the redistricting map. Mm-hmm. would be based on that, and they would go into effect 2023 in the first municipal election.
Because we're undoubtedly going to lose population here in the new census. I mean,
we've lost it for three straight years.
Right, foregone conclusion. All right, so now this idea of the city colleges and the CPS,
mm-hmm.
What's the benefit?
I think we have to look at a lot of structures of government, again, that were established 70, 80, 90 years ago, some of them. And there's no industry, there's no company that's still structured as was then, except government. If you look at our education system, what I'm saying is step back. We should be taking kids from K through 14 and saying, this is our system. At the end of the 14 years, you can come out of there with an associate's degree, ready for life and ready for jobs. And there are plenty of jobs that all you need is a two-year education. We have we've had great success in growing the number of kids who go to four-year colleges from CPS.
Mm-hmm.
But only 18% of them finish college in 6 years. So they don't finish college. They're left with debt, with no real career ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
And as opposed to starting in grammar school and preparing these kids along the way through high school to be ready after 14 years of free education to get a job, have a career, have a life. Now, those who want to go on to 4-year or become a brain surgeon or a lawyer, they can do that. But the vast majority of kids want to have a career and have an opportunity after
to be job ready, essentially, and that's what it would do.
Right.
One of the things, I started this out about grievances because we're not Chicagoans and we're not complaining about something, but I do think that the Chicago public school system takes it on the chin. There are some of the best schools in the nation are Chicago public schools. And in terms of the, we used to call them junior colleges, but in terms of these, associate degree institutions, the Chicago city colleges are pretty great. There's some really good programs in those.
There are a lot of programs, but their graduation rate is maybe about 15% of the kids who go there. So what I'm saying is take that and make it part of the entire system,
so it comes out K
through 14.
But once they're 18, they can choose not to stay if
they
don't want to.
But if the system is 14 years with a free education and coming out of that they're better prepared, I think most kids would.
And we're already paying for it. It's not as though you're asking for additional dough for this.
Right.
It's like this is what they're already doing. All right. Speaking of dough, how are we going to pay for any of this?
Well, the truth of the matter is our short-term economic position is much better than it was a few years ago. Now, that's because of a lot of taxes raised, let's be honest. So I think we're in pretty good shape. I've said I will not have a property tax increase. And after the first year, if I have to raise property taxes, we'll have $1 of cuts for every dollar of property tax increase. The truth of the matter is the long-term fiscal situation of this city has to be addressed. And that revolves around having to deal with the pension issue. We have 50,000 retirees in the city of Chicago, and 35,000 present employees. That's 85,000 people, less than 3% of the population of Chicago. And that amounts to a $26 billion anchor long-term around our neck. If we do not open up the Constitution to have honest negotiations to change this system, along with new revenue, you cannot solve the long-term economic situation.
What is the change in the system that you need?
You have to change the Constitution so that management...
The state Constitution.
Everyone's talking about revenue, casinos, marijuana, all of those. And I've said put those all on the table. But we must have a way to put on the benefits. Not to make the... Some people want to do this all on the backs of the retirees. That's not fair. On the other hand, you can't put it all on the backs of the taxpayers because there'll be nobody left here.
So would people who are expecting a pension that are that are over the age of 40, let's say, because you got a lot of police officers and stuff like that are going to be aging out in their 40s, city workers, right? Would it affect them?
I don't think so. I think we could do a mix of things that it wouldn't. But let me give an example. You could have a police officer retire at 50, live to 90, and he gets a pension or she gets a pension, along with 3% COLA compounded every year for 40 years. We just can't afford that. The people who are, and most of the city retirees, who I respect and know a lot of them, and friends of mine and relatives of mine, many of them, when they retire, they leave and go to Florida or wherever. Mm-hmm. Those of us left have to pay that obligation until they die, and maybe 30, 40 years after they retire.
Do you think that it is palatable for our state legislators to actually pass some kind of constitutional change that hasn't worked in the past?
Well, then what's the solution? I think it ought to be put to the voters, put it on the ballot, let the voters decide. Okay?
For a constitutional convention,
yeah, it has
right?
to be.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, Anna, no one's laid out a solution long-term to this problem. Every mayor, every governor, every alderman, every legislator has kicked this can for years.
No question.
And that's the problem. And so I'm saying at this point, and I'm not doing this for another job or run for another office, that at some point we've got to face up to reality. You may have fake news, but you don't have fake math, and the math doesn't work.
Bringing more people back to Chicago, as we were discussing earlier, the population decline is not something you want to see, especially in this financial environment. You want more people to want to live in the city, want more businesses here. What's your plan for that?
I set out a goal of 300,000 more people, get us back to 3 million people over the next 10 years. It's 30,000 a year. If we were able to get back to 3 million. That would be an additional $290 million in revenue to the city of Chicago and the vibrancy of certain neighborhoods.
Right.
So we obviously have to address the crime issue. We have to get our schools straightened out. We have to do a lot of things to encourage those people to come back or new people to move here. We have had about 140,000 people over the last 8 years move into the city. And that's what you see in the boom around downtown and near north and near south. And we celebrate that. So we have to keep that economic boom going. But we've got to create a climate that people, along with the young people who come here at a very young age, I think we're still the number one destination for college graduates. But when they have a family, we've got to keep them.
Yeah, we've got to keep. But it's property taxes and it's the schools. Right? And to some degree, crime. But even in those neighborhoods that we're talking about, I mean, it is amazing. When you drive around the city of Chicago, there are neighborhoods that, as a lifelong only living in the city, there are parts of the city I drive into and I go, where did this come from?
It's so
right?
cool.
There, I mean, it's amazing.
Right.
To your point. But the problem is, if property taxes are high and the fear of crime and this fear that the schools are going to be substandard for their kids, you do have all of those factors, right? So you already addressed the schools. You already addressed, kind of the economic thing here because you don't want to raise the property taxes anymore. But God knows what the county is going to do. The final piece here is crime. And this is something. I mean, the Daily Family and city services are inextricably linked, right? I mean, you got this. You know, if you know anything about anything, it would be this. What is it that you see to solve this problem?
I think there's a combination of things. And I laid out, you go on my website, dailyfrommayor.com, you'll see a pretty extensive plan. We have to address the gun issue. Legislature has to get tougher. Today, in Illinois, if you are caught in possession of a gun illegally, that is a misdemeanor. So we're sending a message right there. It's not that serious of a crime. Okay? So the legislature's got to begin to take this more seriously. We also have to get better trained police officers. Police officers basically come out of the academy, and I'm for a new academy because they ought to have the best technology as they get trained and retrained. But when a police officer leaves and goes on the job historically, they never get trained again in any serious way. We've got to change that so they're better at the job they do. And I'm a big believer that the vast majority of the police officers, men and women, go out every day to protect us. The third piece of this, which is just as important, is violence prevention reduction. I've said I'd commit $50 million and a deputy mayor to run it to work with these organizations that are working with these young men, mostly between 18 and 27, who have committed a crime or been involved in this activity and changed their lives. And it's working. Arnie Granite's got a program called CRED. Heartland Alliance has got a program called READY. These are programs where they're actually, READY is actually using predictive analysis to determine who will be these young men who will get in trouble and go to them and try to interdict them and say, let's get you on a different path. L.A. and New York do that, the police departments, and they view that as an integral part of having the lower statistics on murders and shootings that we have, about 75% less in one city that has 4 million, another one that has 9 million.
You've got the progressive movement with so much momentum nationwide and here in Chicago and quite a few progressive candidates. How do you appeal to those voters who do want social change? They want some. They don't like exactly what they're seeing and they feel as if government is not necessarily representing them.
Well, look at that. First of all, there's no progressive or moderate or conservative way to fill a pothole or really address crime. There's no doubt we must have better social justice in our systems, whether it's criminal justice system, the sense that the services aren't being given. But the reality is, if we don't continue the economic growth in this city or make it even stronger, all of our best intentions get harder to do for those who are less fortunate than us. So we've got to make sure that we can spread some of these benefits out. But if we go into an economic recession, or God forbid, something like 08, that just makes these problems much worse and much worse for the people who live in communities that are troubled right now. So I think I get the progressive movement, but we also have to make sure that the business climate in this city, and I'm proud of the support I've gotten from the business community, they hire the people. It's the private sector, not the government. The government can be a catalyst for some change, But you need the investment of the private sector to believe that the leadership of the city is about the future, growing it, helping them hire more people. We've got to get them to hire more people from parts of the city that have been cut out and make this city more inclusive.
All right. Bill Daley wants to be your mayor. Website again?
Dailyformayor.com.
That was your father's website, wasn't it, too? Didn't he have that as well?
Was it available? Did he charge you for it?
So. I don't think so.
That's amazing. You know, I don't know why someone didn't squat on that years ago.
Seriously.
But they did.
Yeah, just sit on it. It's too bad I didn't.
Yeah, I know. You should have bought it and then sold it to your brother. That looks. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate it, Bill Daley.
Thanks,
good luck to you out there on the campaign trail. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon. What's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, it's not weather delaying trains at Union Station tonight.